thank you for subscribing to Podcast One Premium.
All right, people, it's 2017. Happy New Year to you, and swig of water for another year of the Unleashed Podcast. Water, because I know y'all are trying to start the new year living a healthier life, and I'm here to help you achieve that New Year's resolution, along with a little help from naturebox.com/Austin. NatureBox is going to help you get your snacking back on track in a new year. I know you've been surrounded by junk food, cookies, candies, other sweets during the holidays just like me, but now you can snack better with NatureBox. NatureBox makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you. They're made with high-quality ingredients that don't have any artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. And they got something for everyone. They got snacks like sweet and spicy buffalo popcorn, Irish stout peanuts, and chocolate hazelnut granola. And NatureBox recently improved their service. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel any time. So go to naturebox.com and check out their snack catalog. There's over 100 snacks to choose from, and they're always adding new snacks too. Just choose the ones you like, and they'll deliver them right to your door. And if you ever try a snack that you don't like, NatureBox will replace it for free. Right now, you'll save even more. NatureBox is offering 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/Austin. That's naturebox.com/Austin for 50% off your first order. naturebox.com/Austin. Hey, y'all know how much I appreciate you listening to this podcast twice a week, and that's why we've created a new automated email system to make sure you never miss a single episode. Just go to podcastone.com/Steve Austin and sign up. We'll let you know exactly when a new show is out and who the guest is. So sign up now at podcastone.com/Steve Austin. That's podcastone.com/Steve Austin.
The following program is a podcastone.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're going to take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain. Yeah!
This is the Steve Austin Show. Unleashed.
Unleashed. Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California. I'm coming to you from 317 Gimmick Street. That's right, the house next door to 316 Gimmick Street, where I normally podcast from. But the house is being remodeling, so I'm making do with temporary shelter over here right next door. I got my laptop computer right there in front of me. I used to have a pearl beer neon clock sitting right beside me. But because this table's so small and we got so much shit on it, my wife said, "Can you please move that pearl clock into another room?" So I can't say that I'm watching the second hand spin around like a rotisserie chicken, because I can't even see the motherfucker because my wife made me take it off a little 4x4 podcast/dinner table. That's the kind of headaches, hassles, and horse shit I got going on up in this motherfucker. Hey, I ain't gonna sit here and complain, man. I'm lucky to have a goddamn roof over my head. Shit, we rent this place. It's fuck hiring giraffe pussy. I called Ted Fowler 361. I said, "Hey, man, you know how much they want for that little house next door?" I told him that motherfucker did a double backflip off the back of his pickup truck, landed on his head. Shit over here in California is so goddamn high. Whether you want to buy, rent, whatever, I don't know. It sure makes me want to move back to fucking Texas. Shit's a lot cheaper over there. You know, when you live into a new house, like we are with this rent house, it got a couple curtains on some of the windows. My wife says, "Yeah, I think I'll go to the Burlington store and get some cheap shades for the windows. You know, the kind where you use the curtain rods and put the little curtains on the damn things for the window treatment." And I said, "Fuck that." I said, "Why don't we just use some of those temporary shades we used to have at the house that we already live in? Those little paper motherfuckers, about an inch wide, and they just unravel, and then you can roll them up and put a clip on them, and they're made out of paper." So we went down to Home Depot, and we got a shit pile of those sumbitches so we can have some privacy in this house, because every window you can see right in this house from the front, back, either side, motherfuckers can see in here.
when I'm walking around kind of halfway sleepy about getting ready to go to sleep, last thing I want to see is some peeping Tom looking in my goddamn window. Shit. Got to have some privacy up in this motherfucker. So we got them little gimmick shades all over the place. Had to get my cold steel broken skull pocket knife and cut them off because we measured all the windows. These things come in these predetermined widths. Have to cut them and then hang them up there. We got that shit going for us. What else did I buy at Home Depot? Yeah, floodlights. There ain't no damn lights in the backyard for the dogs to go take a leak. Every night before we turn the lights out, I'll do my potty call. It's called, it's what we call our last call for our dogs, Hershey and Mula. And I'll say, "Addy out, go potty." And that means those dogs are going to go outside and go potty. I do that. Well, fuck, here comes Mula. She just came around the corner. She thinks it's time to go to sleep already. I say that every night, and the dogs go out and take a piss or take a dump, whatever they got to do. But out here in this yard, there ain't no lights back there. Somebody hung up some Christmas lights back there, and they still plugged in. So I plugged those cocksuckers in, but they don't throw off no light for a dog to see to be able to take a piss. So when we went to Home Depot and got them little gimmick shades, I bought one of them little floodlights that you hook an extension cord up to, and we put that sumbitch on the ground. So every night before I do my call, I flip on the floodlight, and I leave that sumbitch on all night long. My dogs can see when they go take a leak. And also, if there's some burglar who's stupid enough to try to break into 317 Gimmick Street, that floodlight's going to light them up. And I will be ready for their ass if they come through the front door, the back door, or one of the goddamn windows. Shit. Then, I think this house that we're renting, I believe it was built in about 1941. And for some reason back in, they only got a couple ceiling lights in this motherfucker. And they're those little single ones with the little domes on them. And they had like some 37-watt bulbs in there. And so like everything in the house is yellow. You can barely see anything. So I took the domes off of them and put them in the cabinets. Went to Home Depot. I got some 75-watt light bulbs to put in the motherfucker. So now me and my wife can see each other without bumping into each other during the goddamn night. I don't know what they were thinking when they built this house, but certainly they could have put some more light fixtures in this son of a bitch. On top of the lights not being bright enough, half the goddamn electrical outlets don't work. So if you plug in your damn iPhone or a damn little lamp to get some light, the son of a bitch won't light up a charge because half the electrical outlets don't work. Motherfucker, what else could they shit can on us, Kristen? What else are I going to bitch about? Oh, the backyard. Ain't no grass in this motherfucker. And so it's been raining in California, and we need the rain, so I'm glad we're getting the rain. But they got some kind of like granite, gravel shit out there outside the back door. What is it?
It's like sand.
Sand. It's sandy granite, whatever base it is. And the dogs track it in like a motherfucker after they go do their business because it's been raining so much. We got welcome mats all over the place. This house is about 1,100 square feet. 1,000 square feet. We got 6 welcome mats scattered everywhere just so we can keep from tracking dirt in this motherfucker. So when we went to Home Depot, I got about an 8x10 swatch of indoor-outdoor carpet and put out there on top of that sand so when the dogs start walking on it, it kind of starts taking the damn dirt off their feet before they come in the house. Shit, I go out there and watch them go to the bathroom. By the time I go into bed, I've tracked in a bunch of damn sand into the bed because I got it all over my feet from walking over the floors where the dogs are walking at. Anyway, goddamn, it's headaches, hassles, and horse shit. I don't know what else could. Yeah, but you know what? Like I told you guys on a podcast about a week ago, 2017, I'm getting my shit in. 2016 wasn't that grand, but 2017, I'm happy we got a roof over our head. I'm happy the guys are making progress over that 316 Gimmick Street. We're remodeling that motherfucker after living there for 10 years. It's going to be really cool. So I'm sitting there pissing, moaning, complaining about these living conditions. I'm just trying to make light of my situation. There's people out there in a lot worse places than I am, and I'm just fucking with you because this is my podcast, and this is where I vent and talk about all the bullshit that's bothering me. God damn, I went to a meeting yesterday. I can't remember if I told you guys about this or not. I was following a goddamn lady in a Mini Cooper, white, four-door.
And she was looking down into her lap because I was watching her on her driver's side mirror. And she was texting. And she was all over the road. Then behind me, I had a guy in a white Honda, four-door. He was all up on my ass, and he was looking down in his lap. And I could just see by looking in my rearview mirror that his eye line wasn't on the road, and he was texting too. So I was trapped by two cocksuckers on the 405 trying to go to a business meeting to get a fucking job to pay for all this remodeling shit, and a sumbitch in front of me and behind me is both texting. And I'm figuring, well, that's going to be great. I just said I'm going to get my shit in 2017 and make this a badass year. And I'm going to get sandwiched in between two cocksuckers texting, driving these white cars down the road instead of keeping eyes on the fucking highway. If there's one thing that chaps my ass, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's a motherfucker texting while they're driving, doing all that stupid bullshit. Keep your eyes on the goddamn road, people. When I pull up to a stoplight, like I said, I'll send a text message or read one. But when I'm driving, I got my hands at 10 and 2, or I got the one hand on 10, and I got the other on the console. I got my seatbelt on, but my eyes are glued to the fucking road. We were driving down the road the other day, and my wife says, oh, did you see that 65 Mustang? It was in the periphery. It was off to the side. I said, no, I didn't see it because there's so much traffic out here. I got 10, 12,000 cars I'm trying to deal with. I've been in the middle of nowhere in South Texas looking at the brush. I'm not taking my eyes off the fucking road. So if you people paid attention to the highways like I do, you wouldn't have as many accidents as you are, or you wouldn't be intimidated or be scared out of your mind by all the idiots and assholes there are that out there doing these things that I speak of. If you're texting and driving, please fucking stop, or I'll put my foot up your ass. With that being said, let's get going today. My wife's going to join me on the podcast today. We've got a couple stories going to share with you, and then I'm going to answer some questions that you guys sent in. I'm going to talk to Eric Emery, I think, this weekend. We're going to talk about Puerto Rico and blood. How's that for the name of a podcast, Puerto Rico and Blood? Hopefully Eric can talk to me. Anyway, before we get into business, I got to talk about Blue Apron. Y'all know that I don't do a whole lot of cooking and that my wife is a gourmet cook who loves to be in the kitchen. But hey, she got a lot going on herself, can't always make me dinner, and I'm sure like a lot of you guys are in the same boat. That's why you should check out Blue Apron. Blue Apron makes home cooking easy for everyone. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. And every meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and can be made in 40 minutes or less. This is idiot-proof cooking, people. You can choose your meals each week and your delivery options. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Blue Apron uses only fresh, high-quality ingredients in all their recipes, and some of this month's options include spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage, and pork chops and garlic piccata with scallion rice and spinach. You can see this week's full menu options and get your first three meals free with free shipping at blueapron.com/unleashed. You'll love how good the food tastes and how easy it is to make home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So get on it. Go to blueapron.com/unleashed. That's blueapron.com/unleashed.
Hey, it's Layla from Layla Ali Lifestyle on Podcast One. Now, as an undefeated boxing champion turned fitness and wellness expert, I'm going to be bringing you the information that you want to hear. Be a champion in every area of your life. You can download new episodes of Layla Ali Lifestyle every Thursday at podcastone.com or subscribe at iTunes.
Steve Austin. Unleashed.
All right, everybody, here we go with the show. I hope the acoustics are okay. We're over here in a different house. We're not at 316 Gimmick Street. We're at 317 Gimmick Street. When I say we, I'm talking about myself and my illustrious wife, Kristen. Hello, Kristen. How are you?
I'm adjusting.
I know we're both adjusting. There's a vase of flowers that someone brought in for us as a little housewarming present while we were gone. It's sitting right between us. I can almost see my wife. It's like I'm trying to avoid eye contact with her because I don't know what the fuck we're going to talk about on today's podcast.
Well, besides the fact we're in a much smaller house.
Well, no, it's not that we're in a smaller house. It's just that we just have a little bit of our furniture over here and we just haven't really got settled in.
No, yeah, we haven't got
a settled in. We thought the remodel
miraculously would be done by the time we got back. Well, fuck. We just got our permit finally posted outside the damn gate over there. So everything, you know, we're going by the books on this thing. So, and our builder, who's a wonderful builder, our contractor, you know, he's a guy that requires plans and, you know, and I'm glad that he does because yes. He's straight up, very transparent. You know what the fuck's going on. And he does square, honest work like Ted Fowler 361. So if he says he's going to do something, he does. And there's been some problems over there. You know, some of the whoever remodeled the house or added on to it before we bought it did some shoddy work. So he's having to do a lot of repair work. But
and it's a good thing because our structure is going to be more stable now. You know, in case there's an earthquake, the roof won't fall on our head.
Well, I'm hoping there ain't gonna be no goddamn earthquake. We did a remodel for no reason. If this motherfucker's gonna fall into the ocean, we might as well head back to Texas. Goddamn, man, I tell you what, it's just tough to get settled in here, man. I had a business meeting. As soon as we got in, we started moving shit over here, both of us, you know, and brought chair, couch over, and love seat, and all this bullshit. And
some minor clothing, unpacked suitcases.
Yeah, and then the national championship game was just on this past Monday, and I wanted to watch that damn game, you know, bad because I'm a big Alabama fan. I'm a Clemson fan as well, and Dabo Sweeney and those guys, but I was pulling for Alabama. And what kind of antenna did you buy?
Some, as you would say, a gimmick antenna off of Amazon for $20. You stick it to the wall with some stickies, and you do a scan of your channels, and voila.
I know, voila. And then we also got the Apple TV going on over here. So I was streaming through ESPN, and my wife got it all set up for me, and I was happy as a clam. I was sitting here watching a goddamn football game, and hopefully Alabama's going to open up a can of whoop-ass and beat Clemson. So anyway, my wife goes to Zumba. Goddamn, man. I know she's about to hit the dance floor, and all of a sudden, you know, the buffering starts, a little spinning wheel happens. The spinning wheel starts going, I'm like, man, what the fuck is going on? And it turns off. It'd always be at a key element, a key time during the game. Like Clemson's about to make a run. Alabama's about to score. You don't know what's going to happen. It was just a great, great national championship game. I'm texting my wife. I said, the goddamn TV crapped out. What do I do? Because I ain't no fucking technical guy to begin with. And the damn thing was crapped out on me. And then, you know, so, man, I signed up for some app on my email here or like a streaming system.
Yeah.
And then it says, you want to stream for a party? I said, no, I don't want to stream for a party. I want to just watch the goddamn football game. So then I watched, you know, I signed into ESPN. I got the ESPN app on my iPhone. So then I started watching the national game, championship game on my iPhone. And then TV started working again. So anyway, finally, after halftime, the TV kicked in full time. And I was just about to give up.
Well, it's because we're being cheap. And I'm not going to buy internet over here if we're not going to be here for but a couple months. So I hooked up the Wi-Fi extender. And so it's sitting in the window closest to our property, so I'm trying to pull from our signal next door, and that's why it buffers, because it's not a good enough signal.
Anyway, I sent out a tweet on Twitter. I said, hey, is anybody else having a hard time watching this streaming thing for the national championship game? And then someone tweeted me back. He goes, why don't you have cable? So, you know, I'm trying to talk real quiet because there's an echo in this room. Hey, so I can finally address you. Hey, motherfucker, yeah, I got cable, I got DirecTV, I got all that bullshit. But it's at the house next door. And just like my wife said, we're too cheap to go to get DirecTV for the 3 months we're going to be living in this fucking house over here.
And the minimum is 12 months, so I'm not going to pay 12 months.
Yeah. So we're trying to save money up in this bitch. God damn it. I'm very aware. Everybody knows me, and especially my wife, who still clips coupons. And I'm very frugal with my money, dare I say cheap. If I'm going to buy something, I'm going to get the best that I can get. But other than that, I just don't go throwing money around just for the fuck of it. I like to save money just like anybody else does. If you spend all your money, you won't have money. God damn. So, yeah, I wasn't trying to be cheap. I was trying to do the right thing and just do the streaming thing. My wife hooked up the extender, was working just fine. The motherfucker wasn't buffering. So, hey, motherfucker, yeah. I have people I know just stopped all their basic cable. A lot of people just use Apple TV.
That or Roku or any of those deals. But
yeah, Hulu.
We should have known on Sunday when we went to watch Broken School Challenge.
God damn, I tried to watch my badass show, Steve Austin's Broken Skull Challenge, on CMT because it was a hellacious episode. We had some great obstacle course racers come out there, and all of a sudden, we get on the CMT app. Well, last year, we'd be over at the little club we belonged to drinking a margarita, and we'd watch Broken Skull Challenge while we're looking at the damn, you know, Marina Del Rey.
Our iPhones.
On iPhone, and yeah. I would never miss a show. And I wanted to live tweet during the episode because it was a very close competition. but they don't stream it live anymore. So then Kristen went through the whole scan process on the TV. Well, CMT wasn't on the gimmick antenna that's stuck on a wall with the sticky. So I got fucked both times. I couldn't watch my own show, and then I could barely watch a national championship. Speaking of national championship, man, I got to give a shout-out to Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers. Swig of beer, national champions, college football. And, you know, everybody knows how big of a Nick Saban fan I am, Urban Meyer, and, you know, those guys like that, and Jim Harbaugh of Michigan. But I'm also a Dabo Swinney fan. And Clemson did an awesome job. I thought they, man, their defensive line just really came alive during that game. And I was really mad because Lane Kiffin called a real shitty game against Washington. You know, ever since he got that job in Florida, I don't know if he was focusing on the task at hand, but I thought the game he called at Washington was the drizzling shits. So all of a sudden, Nick Saban says, okay, we'll see you down the road, calls in Sark. Sark had been kind of, you know, analyzing, studying, watching Kiffin call these plays. And, of course, you know, he's pretty much an offensive guru as well. He had some issues. You know, he went to USC when Washington got fired. And now Saban picked him up, but it just doesn't seem like, as an offensive coordinator, that Jalen Hurts and him were on the same page. Yeah, Jalen Hurts didn't have a great downfield passing game or day, but, man, that guy was an unbelievable true freshman quarterback this year, had an outstanding year. He's played lights out all this year. He's dangerous on his feet. But, goddamn, credit to the Clemson defense. They always seem to know what he was doing. But I didn't think that Sark did a very good job at calling plays to get that running game going, to get the whole game going. And I take that back, the running game, yes, before Bo Scarborough got taken out with an injury, he was just crushing them. And then, again, I forget the other guy's name, the other running back, number 34 for Alabama. He was doing real well. So I thought they should have just pounded the damn rock straight up the middle. Every now and then, let Jalen try to run the football or get outside or run up the middle like he does. But, God dang, the passing game just wasn't working. And I just thought with Lane Kiffin gone, after he shut the bet against Washington, they parted ways. And I thought Clemson, you know, boy, first of all, I think Alabama's offense just wasn't clicking with Sark calling those plays. Then, also, you got to give Clemson credit. Hardly anybody scores 21 points in a game because I think Alabama's defense has held everybody to less than, what, 13, 14 points a game, maybe 11. All of a sudden, Clemson rings up 21 points in the fourth quarter. So shout out to Clemson. They're the national champions. It's like Dabo Swinney. One of the things I liked about him, he gave Alabama and Coach Saban, you know, big-time respect. And, you know, he won a national championship there as a player. And now he goes over to Clemson, been there 8 years, and turned that program into a national championship contender 2 years in a row. And this year they knock off the King of the Mountain, Alabama. Congratulations. And Chris was sitting right beside me. Goddamn, Clemson scored that go-ahead touchdown, and she was kind of jumping up and down on the couch.
I thought you had a tear in your eye.
Well, she's looking over at me, and I'm kind of mad because she's got this big smile on her face because her best friend is a big Clemson fan. It's not like she has really any ties to South Carolina, being a Cali girl. But I'm like, you know, I hate losing. Well, I'm not playing, but the team I'm cheering for just is losing.
You were very sullen.
All of a sudden, man, I forget what the touchdown was, but Alabama with that big score with an answer, and I was like, God damn, I almost came unglued. These ceilings are only 7 feet tall, and almost put both fists through the damn ceiling because I was so fucking happy. And Kristen looked at me like I was a psycho or something. But I was so happy about that they scored. And, hey, man, got to give a shout-out to Deshaun Watson, 420 yards passing. God damn, he had 405 yards last year. He's one of the most dangerous quarterbacks I've ever seen. And Nick Saban knew they were going to have their hands full with him because they did last year, and they was able to win in a shootout. But it'll be interesting to see where he goes into the pros. But he really seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders at 6'3". He's very accurate when he's on. He makes great decisions with the football. Man, he just played an outstanding game. Anyway.
Guess what?
What?
The Gardeners are here.
God damn, it's Wednesday. Our gardeners or these gardeners?
Our gardeners, okay. And I can hear them.
God damn, our gardeners over. We got guys over, I mean, they're demoing the floor. They got the whole floor tore up in our house right now. All of the wooden floors out.
Everything is demolished.
They've taken all that we have.
all started because our floors buckled and we're going to put in new floors.
Yeah, we weren't planning on remodeling our house, but when the floors buckled, we said, well, fuck, we don't like the floors to begin with, but you just don't want to replace a perfectly good floor just because it's
right.
not the prettiest thing in the world to us. And so then we took this time, and all of a sudden one thing led to another, and now our house is a three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath house. So we're redoing two-and-a-half bathrooms. We're keeping all the appliances in the kitchen. We're keeping the floor in the kitchen, which is tile, but the rest of it will be hardwood floors just like it was. Well, half of it was carpeted, but now 100%, well, 90% of the house will be a hardwood floor. But, man, they just tore that thing out. And
it's amazing how much work. I thought it was going to be like a couple weeks. It's turned into about 9 months.
Well, and also the waiting period. When you say that you're going to remodel your house, that people have like a 20-day, what's that, the Coastal Commission thing to protest?
Yeah. The coastal exemption,
all these people that make noise around here and this mega structure that was built behind our house, like someone's going to complain just because finally, after living in this cocksucking house for 10 years,
we want to remodel it.
Yeah. And it all started with a new floor and two new doors to the exterior.
Yeah.
And then we bought this lady over, this interior designer, just because I'm not the best decorator in the world. I'm good guy style. Couple cinder blocks of 1x12. That's a TV rack. My wife. Now,
I don't decorate either.
Okay. Now, to your credit, you're good at everything else, and you're a premier cook because that's
your
passion.
But I don't decorate.
But, yeah.
We lived in this house for 10 years with mismatched base molding. Okay.
Well, I know we lived in the house for 5 or 7 years before we decided to plant those big-ass tall bushes in front. So now we actually got some privacy.
But this lady knows what she's doing. She has some great ideas, and that's her forte. I don't see things that way. So
I know, here's the thing. Great ideas turn into money.
That's true.
Money spent out of our pocket. So,
yeah.
But it's like, man, she said, well, what if we did this? I mean, she was really, really, really good, which she is. But then all of a sudden she started going, well, what if you moved the fountain out there by the fence and you would have a focal point? And I said, listen, I don't want to say her name because you might not want it on the podcast.
Right.
I said, listen. I said,
how about when she said it's a teardown?
She called her house a teardown. I said, listen, I said, that yard is little bitty. I said, I don't need a focal point because I'm not going to sit in here in my podcast office and look out at the fountain and say, it's like Pulp Fiction when I open up the briefcase and that shiny gold. I'm not just going to sit here and look at a fucking water fountain out there by the fence line, by the bush. So I said, scratch that. The water fountain will stay where it's at, where the birds can come here and shower and do all their stuff, but it doesn't need to be out there in the fucking yard.
Yeah.
So it's little things like that that started like, this started to add up.
It's really starting to add up.
Well, see, here's the thing. You ain't never told me about the check you're writing yet. So,
I'm not going to either.
And I've been meaning to ask you, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to ask her right now because, I know we're spending some money.
I mean, just on the hardware for the kitchen cabinets, it's crazy expensive how these things just add up. All of a sudden you need 29 knobs or 29 pulls.
Pulls for like your cabinets and your drawers. And those motherfuckers add up.
Because you need 29 of them.
And then you just call for the labor to put the motherfuckers on.
That's another 15% added on top.
Yeah. Man, let's pick up the computer and go to the next room. These blowers are going to start getting loud. Here, you grab this.
Okay.
We're going to move into the next room because this is a professional podcast. We're never going to win no goddamn award with it, but we're trying to keep
the next
the
room. It's the same room. It's just 5 feet over.
So the house we're renting is it's 1,100 square feet, about 1,000 square feet.
No, 1,000 square feet.
Okay, it's 1,000 square feet. It's a three-bedroom with one bath. Man, we got 2.5 baths at our house, and so since we got 2.5 baths, I got my own bathroom. Kristen's got her own bathroom.
Well, you go to the bathroom. You go to any bathroom with toilet paper.
True.
If one runs out, you go to the next. Then you wait till that runs out, then you go to the next.
Well, the strange thing was when I came back from my business meeting this morning, we had a guest over, and then I had to go to the bathroom. And there's only one bathroom, and we got hardwood floors.
And it's a small bathroom.
It's a small bathroom.
And when you open up the window, there's the neighbor right there looking out the window at you while you're sitting on the pot.
And not to be crass, but I had to drop a deuce. and it was diarrhea. And so I'm in there shitting like a crippled goose, trying to keep it on the kayfabe side so the damn, you know, person in the house don't hear me, you know. And you know, I was gonna crack the window because I don't want to funk the whole house out, but like, these houses are so close, the way our house is set up, we're very, very private. We're back from the street. There's bushes all around. Even though we're just in a regular neighborhood on a regular sized lot, it's very private.
Yeah.
But over here, every window you open, you're looking in somebody's house. You know, I'm in there taking a piss. I'm like, oh, hello. Let me go ahead and close the window here. So if I'm dropping a deuce, you know, I want to shut the window, kayfabe the lady next door, and then kayfabe the guest here in the house.
Right.
And then Kristen came up with a be-all, end-all solution today, this little aromatic spray. So I hit it a couple of puffs, but all of a sudden, you know, when you smell citrus and shit, you know, you know someone took a shit.
Well, what do you suggest?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I'm not just going to go in there and piss and start squirting citrus everywhere. So I'm pretty sure that she knew what was going on. Anyway, enough about that. You know, someone asked me, because I was going to do some questions and answers on this podcast, but someone had asked me on Twitter, and it came from Johannes Jones 2. Steve, have you returned to the busy city yet? Or are you still at the BSR? Must be a hell of a difference. Shit. That's the understatement of the year, Johannes. God damn. Here's the thing. I wish I was still at the ranch. I mean, you know, being at the ranch is so peaceful because you're out in the middle of nowhere. There ain't no helicopters, no sirens, no people driving in their cars texting, no idiot pedestrians crossing the street looking into iPhones texting.
Well, that's not true, because when I drive on the highways, I always see people texting there. So that does occur there.
No. I'm talking about life on the ranch.
Okay.
I'm not talking about when you run into town 55 miles one way to get groceries.
Okay.
Because people in San Antonio, just like people in L.A., everybody's texting and driving no matter where the fuck you are in all 50 United States. If, for that matter, probably in the world. When you're at the ranch, man, I ain't seeing nobody. I ain't putting up with nobody's bullshit. I'm riding my Kawasaki mule. I'm turning on my dirt roads. It's very peaceful. The only person out there on another mule or another vehicle is going to be Ted or my dad if he's out there hunting with one of his friends.
Or our nephew and niece.
So yeah, or my nephew or my niece driving one of my vehicles. And so I know on about, what, how big is it? It's 2,000 acres would be what? 2 or 3 square miles?
Your guess is good.
I don't know. I'm just saying it's a pretty big property. You don't see anybody. All of a sudden, man, we came back. We had that chartered airplane. It was myself, Kristen, Hershey, and Mula. And every time it's a tradition. You know, we don't charter very much because it's too damn expensive. And I'm trying to save money because we've got this remodel going. But I always make a 1.5 liter bottle of Bloody Mary mix. So,
well, not the entire thing. You do about half.
Yeah, make about half because you can't get all fucked up and get on the, you know, get on the ground and say you'd be driving through L.A. traffic all shit-faced because you was drinking on a plane. So you get a little buzz, you peak midway, and then by the time you land, you're not buzzed anymore.
Right.
So that's our strategy. And I'll tell you what, man.
And we picked up our last bit of Mexican food on the way in.
Oh, man. We stopped at Cancun Mexican Food there in Jordan, Texas, and I had 3 beef enchiladas and 3 beef tacos, and Kristen got her, what?
Chalupas.
Your chalupas with beans, and it's vegetarian. And that's the best Mexican food restaurant in Jordan Pleasant, Cancun, on Highway, was it 97?
Yes.
Damn near crawled. It's right behind, what's that, Mi Mexico?
I can't remember the name.
Whatever, but it's the one not on the highway. As we were driving down the road...
Well, I had made some sandwiches, but the sandwiches just didn't sound as good as our last Mexican food meal in Texas.
So. Yeah, I was waiting for my wife. I said, shit, we drove about 5 miles after picking up the food, and we called in a to-go order, and we're driving down the road. And I said, well, shit, are you going to bust out them enchiladas or what? And she said, well, I thought we'd wait until we get onto the airplane.
Well, you can't eat enchiladas and drive.
Yeah, but I said, when you said get it to go order, that made me hungry. So I'm ready to eat my shit now. You can save your shit when you get on an airplane, but I want to eat mine now. So the reason she doesn't want me to eat while I'm driving.
Because you can't.
Well, I know. That's why we employed.
I have to feed you, and I have to hold the steering wheel, and I should probably chew for you as well, because it's too multitasking for you to drive and eat.
First of all, I've driven I don't know how many thousands of miles eating food while I've been going down the road, whether it's hamburgers, you know,
it's just as reckless as texting.
Well, it's not just as reckless, but here's the thing. Every now and then, while we were driving on the highway, I would work the gas pedal and the brake, and Chris would just drive for me with the steering wheel. That way I didn't have to drive with my knee. Everybody drives with their knee every now and then. So you would drive, and then we'd pull up to an intersection. She goes, okay, you better start slowing down now. So we got to see the red light. What do you think? I'm just going to fucking blast through it. And here comes the highway patrol. Well, why did you think you had to ride away? Well, I was eating my enchiladas. Fuck, don't you have the right of way when you got a red light and you're eating enchiladas? So, yeah, I was going to slow down. So I scarfed down the 3 beef enchiladas real quick, and I saved my tacos for the airplane. But, yeah, that was great to finally end up with that. But, you know, you're killing me. You know,
you're killing me.
But the difference,
I'm the passenger. It's a big difference when you're a passenger and when you're a driver, because yeah, the passenger has absolutely no control. I'm just sitting in the front seat, hoping for the best.
For 12 years, I don't want to beleaguer this point. I've delivered you to the destination every time we set across to go somewhere. And so just eating enchiladas, you know, I've eaten before with you. You know, I can handle it again. So you just need to relax a little bit. We made it back.
Yes, we did.
But the differences are paramount. Right at the end of the season, man, I'm dialed in. I'm in pure hunting mode. I'm driving my mule. I'm looking in the brush for horizontal objects with rounded bodies. I'm looking for deer. I'm looking for horns. I'm looking for hogs. I'm just looking for signs of wildlife. Yesterday, coming back from that meeting, man, I got in L.A. traffic. The meeting was at 3:30. It lasted for about an hour, hour and a half. So that dumped me right off on rush hour traffic in Los Angeles. And it's about 20 miles away from my house. So I get into the damn SUV, and, man, I jump on the gas because traffic's moving pretty good. And I'm just doing the same thing that I was in Texas. But I'm not looking for wildlife. I'm looking for cars that aren't using their blinkers and making lane changes. And I'm still in predator mode. I'm just trying to weave in and out. Boy, and I see my opening to jump on the gas, that supercharger on that V6 picks up and hauls ass. And all of a sudden you hit about 80 and you hit your brakes and you start slowing down. But I had both hands on the steering wheel at 10 and 2. I had the Pandora music on Slaughter Radio, you know, cranking up. And then Metallica comes on with their version of Turn the Page and hit that rewind button about 3 times. And I'm jamming with Metallica, Turn the Page, on the fucking highways here in Los Angeles. And I was like, okay, I'm getting back in the groove now. I'm used to the traffic. I'm used to the people that aren't using their blinkers. I think I've made the transition. But how long have we been home now?
It seems like forever.
Well, it's about 5. Well, we got home Saturday.
Yeah, today's Wednesday.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, it's about 5 days, 4.5 days. So I'm getting dialed back in. I'm getting used to the traffic again. I can't say that I like it, though.
No, I don't either.
I think I could, let's move to the front room.
Okay.
I think I would prefer living in Texas.
Well, you prefer to live in an area that is not so congested, and L.A. is not one of those places.
You talk about bullshit. This is a, how many bedrooms is this?
3-bedroom, 1.
It's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house, and we started off in the living room.
What they would consider to be the dining quarters.
Yeah, and then we went to our bedroom where there's a soundproof door out there because we have a neighbor that stays up at all nights. And now we're in a bedroom that's closest to the neighbors who can see you when you go to the bathroom. And now she's looking in our window thinking, why are those two people walking around with a laptop computer, a Zoom H4 and recorder, and 2 microphones?
And then it's hollow sounding in here, too.
Yeah,
so there's nothing in this room.
Let me just open my window. Hey, welcome to the Steve Austin Show. Would you like to join us? I'll get another microphone. Oh, and they do still have pumpkins in their windows.
Yes, they do.
God damn, my wife says, did you look in that house next door yet? I said, well, I mean, I have, but I don't really study the house because, you know, I don't want to, you know, like the houses here are so close.
You don't want to look in somebody's house, but you want to look in somebody's house.
Yeah, but I knew I'd be sitting there trying to look in her house. All of a sudden, the lady would just look at me like, okay, who's the creeps that live next door? Guy's casing the joint like he's trying to break in. So we go back into the living room here. Here's the thing. While I was watching the football game the other night, Chris was at Zumba, And she says, can you see if you can go get our throw rug down? It's about an 8x10 carpet area.
It's so an area rug.
It's an area rug, whatever you call it. But I threw it down. So it doubles as a throw rug. So now that when you get on this, because it's got hardwood floors in here, when you come back in here, got a little bit more sound qualities because the sound's not bouncing everywhere.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the thing. No. The guy was asking the differences about being in L.A. and Texas.
Oh, right. Okay.
And, man, I would love to live down there at the ranch, but being in L.A. facilitates, being able to talk to more people in person on podcast. I had someone that I wanted to interview today on the show, but it was going to be a telephone interview. So I figured, man, I want to hold off so I can get some more guests in person. They're going to have to come over to 317 Gimmick Street, and we ain't going to have no room to do
there
shit.
There is no room because we have two sofas. We didn't bring our big sofa over. We got a love seat and a chair, and the dogs take up every bit of it. So I'm usually sitting in the dog bed, and you're usually sitting in the dining room.
God damn, but it's a discombobulated situation, to say the least. I am going to have a Skype interview with Eric Embry. He was going to have a procedure done we talked about on the podcast about a week or two ago. And we were going to talk Puerto Rico and blood. So that phone conversation, that Skype conversation is going to happen. But I didn't have time with my business meetings trying to get settled in for all that to happen. So enough about L.A. and enough about all the bullshit that's going on in our life with the remodel and stuff like that. Kristen, when we come back, I'll let you ask the questions that the people sent in, and I will provide the answers. Are you down with that?
I can manage that.
You got anything you want to plug before we go to a commercial break?
No.
Steve Austin BS on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. Your Steve Austin show. I can plug that.
Yeah. I'm coming right back with my wife, Kristen. She's going to ask the questions. I'm going to supply the answers that you sent in. The questions, steveaustinshow.com. Also, the podcast part two with Eric Embry coming up right around the corner. Be right back after a word from sponsors to keep the show on the air for free. Hey, all you comedy fans out there, and I'm guessing that's pretty much everyone listening to this podcast right now. I got something for you. CISO. S-E-E-S-O. CISO. CISO is the new ad-free streaming service bringing you all the comedy you can handle for just $3.99. You get a near endless supply of top shelf stuff, exclusive originals, face melting, stand up, next day late night shows, and a catalog of classics. And with CISO, you can get your laugh on anytime, anywhere. They got every episode of Saturday Night Live, including brand new episodes the day after they air. CISO has The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, the entire Monty Python catalog, and classic TV shows like 30 Rock and Parks and Recreation. And like I said, they got originals too, like Hidden America with Jonah Ray. This is CISO's fake travel show where the places are real, but the people are not. And right now, you can try CISO free for 2 months when you use promo code PODCAST1 at checkout. Just go to SEESO.com and sign up for 2 months free with promo code PODCAST1 at checkout. That's CISO.com, promo code PODCAST1. Hey, if you're in the market for a car, then you need to check out TrueCar.com and the TrueCar app. TrueCar gives you pricing information you need to feel confident about your purchase. When you register with TrueCar, you'll see what other people in your local market pay for the car you want. From there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. TrueCar shows you real pricing on actual inventory, so you see competitive pricing offered to you by TrueCar certified dealers for vehicles that are actually on their lots. TrueCar makes car buying easy, no matter if you're looking for a brand new or a used vehicle. There are over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. And there are over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers. And over 2 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by TrueCar certified dealer network. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Steve Austin, Unleashed.
Unleashed.
All right, everybody. Sorry for the discombobulation. Just hit the start button for the 17th fucking time. The refrigerator just kicked in over there. I'm sure you can't hear it over there on your end, but I can hear it over here on mine. It's a General Electric refrigerator, almond-colored. It's got to be from about 1975, and it's about as wide as a Foot Locker. God damn, our contractor was nice enough to get this thing for us because this place did not come with a refrigerator when we rented it. No, we ain't got no fucking cable or satellite either. I'm just happy we got the cocksucker.
Me too.
You, goddamn, keep our milk cold so we can barely get a strip of bacon in that motherfucker. All right, I said we were going to do a Q&A. You ready to read these questions?
I am really going to try.
You've been stumbling, bumbling, rumbling. Let's do it. Ask questions.
Hey, Steve, I want to say how much I enjoy your show and look forward to listening to it each week. You and Kristen are a great double act, and your antics always make me smile. My question relates to your in-ring rivalry with The Rock, specifically leading up to WrestleMania 17. The two of you cut a joint backstage interview with Jim Ross on SmackDown in the run-up. I think it's one of the best and most original segments I've seen in the 25 years I've been watching wrestling. You've spoken of your respect for The Rock, but was there any animosity during that period? Your intensity and shoot style really gives the impression there is more going on between you both than it being just cutting a promo for the belt. Thanks again for the award-winning podcast. Who knew I'd learn so much about turtles from Stone Cold? Tony in Scotland.
Well, I tell you what, Tony, that's a real good question. And, man, if I am mistaken, I think that segment was my idea because I always liked those old school promos when the guys would be right next to each other, you know, talking about, doing battle and getting ready to fight for the belt. And yeah, you're not going to fight right then and there because it's almost like being at a press conference. You got to do the work to promote the fight. And this is pro wrestling, and I've always believed in shoot aspect of presentation of the product. And so when you look at the talent involved, myself, who was on fire, Rock was on fire. And yes, of course, I have tremendous respect for The Rock. I always have. At that point, I thought I'd kind of flatlined just a con hair. And during this build, you know, that when we did the video package with the Limp Bizkit song My Way, you know, people still consider that to be, if not one of the best build-ups to a major pay-per-view in history. And because it was such a good piece of music and the way it was edited and the storyline that we were telling. But you got to throw into the fact that when Jim Ross, you know, conducts an interview like he did, man, he was the man in the middle asking the questions with respect and a shoot presentation. So, man, it was a total work. Man, Rock respects me as much as I do him, and we always brought out the best in each other. And it was just the fact of the matter, as Rock would have said, you know, we were doing heavy-duty business. We were the main event at WrestleMania 17, and that was a hell of a damn card. Everybody on the card that night got off. Everybody got their shit in. I don't think there was a dud match the entire night. And then to go out there in a record-setting Astrodome crowd and just knock the sumbitch out of the park, it was big time. So we followed up all of the promo stuff with a five-star match. But, yeah, it was a total work. When you're doing serious business, you know, just like Rock said, you know, he's going to get every ounce of blood, sweat, and whatever he had in him. And I told him, I said, Rock, I need that belt. I need it more than you could ever imagine. And that was a shoot, but it was a work. But, yeah, it was real serious. When we did that piece of business, we just shook hands, and then we went our separate ways. But it was a total work, no animosity, nothing but love and respect between myself and The Rock. And that was good business, and that's the kind of business that I believe in. We were doing in the Attitude Era. Jesus Christ, the whole fucking locker room was stacked with talent. And it goes back into that mid-80s stuff, which I always speak of so fondly with, you know, Mid-South Power Pro, NWA, world-class championship wrestling before they went on to decline. Serious business. Serious business draws money. So does emotions. So do storylines. And so do gold titles. That was a work. But we conducted it just like a goddamn shoot. No animosity. Next question.
Hey, Steve, when a wrestler is not used on camera or on the road but is not injured, do they still collect their regular pay?
Man, here's the thing. You know, way back in the day before we had guaranteed contracts, you know, if you weren't on the road or if they didn't have no use for you, you weren't making no money. These days with the advent, and this is, you know, these days, this has been a long time now in the making, you know, with the downside contract, you have, you know, a guaranteed amount that you're going to make, which is the minimum, which you have the upside to make more. So the more they use you, the more you potentially can make. But by and large, most of these guys and gals, even if they're not on TV, they're drawing some type of pay compensation from the company. Across the board, if it's a part-time person, maybe not. And many other promotions, I don't know what Ring of Honor's deal is, or some of the other indie-type people who, or TNA, you know, how they work. You know, I'm sure they have some guys contracted to get paid whether they work or not. But certainly the guys that participate in the shows that are frequent players but not full-time players, I'm sure that they don't get compensated if they're not on that night. So for the most part, in a WWE system, yes, you're being paid. In any other system, I'm not so sure. Back in the old days, if you wasn't working, you wasn't getting paid.
All right. Hello, Steve. My name is Eli. I listen to you from South Dakota. Your podcast has gotten me past many long nights working in the late shift. I was wondering if there was some kind of universal safe word when you're in the ring to let the ref know that you really are hurt and you're not just selling it, so they can get you some help if need be.
Shit, there ain't no safe word, but I remember back in the day when I got dropped on my head at Meadowlands Arena in Jersey and damn near paralyzed. I said, man, I said, tell them I'm hurt. I said, I can't move. And so that was just, you know, hey, man, I'm fucking hurt. I guess that would be the safe word. I can't do nothing. I'm hurt. And when a guy tells you in the ring he's hurt, that means the shit just got really real. And these days, hey, maybe they do have a code word, whether it's vanilla or, you know, red or, you know.
I'm guessing a ref would notice that, though.
Well, I mean, well, see, these days, a lot of times, you know, on a big bump, if you see it on the pay-per-views, if a guy takes a big bump from, you know, maybe outside the ring, on anything, it could be anywhere, but that referee will reach his hand out and give a squeeze. That's called giving the office. So there is a nonverbal, you know, safe word, and that's the squeeze. If a guy squeezes, hey, man, I'm cool. If not, you know, hey, man, shit ain't good here. But there's no word to say, hey, man, yeah, I'm okay. You know, I would just tell the few times that I've gotten hurt in the ring, hey, I'm hurt. When you hear that, you know that you don't fuck with that guy. You don't touch him because, you know, he's down. You've seen a lot of guys in the past, you know, hurt a guy and continue to work on him. And they didn't know they hurt him, or the guy didn't communicate with him. So, you know, bad things can happen in a situation like that. But no code word. It's the squeeze. It's the office. Kind of a nonverbal thing. Cameras are always so close. They catch that squeeze. I wish they wouldn't. But that's the way to communicate. But again, back in the old days, man, if a guy got smoked, just say, hey, man, I'm hurt.
Okay, this guy writes in, Steve from Illinois, as you would say.
Thank you. Illinois, one of my favorite states to wrestle in.
Illinois. Says, greeting to the resident. Am I supposed to use the acronym Giant, or am I supposed to actually say Global Icon and National Treasure?
Either one.
Okay, so he put Giant. Steve and his illustrious wife, Wiggum. Kristen.
Wife, I'm glad I'm married.
Okay. There is always a debate on who is better, the Stones or the Beatles, Zeppelin or Rush. For your money's worth, who do you prefer on each?
Man, I got to go Beatles over Stones because I think the Beatles influenced more bands at a deeper, higher level. And that's with all due respect to the Stones because, I mean, they're one of the greatest bands of all time. But I got to go Beatles because I've heard so many badass musicians who had mega success always refer back to the Beatles. Then when you talk about Zeppelin versus Rush, God damn, Zeppelin influenced a shitload of people too. But for my money, I would go Rush over Zeppelin just from my personal preference. But Zeppelin absolutely was a rock and roll band that had a big influence over people. But as far as which one I would pick is, well, I mean, Rush. Goddamn, Rush was so good. You're a big Rush freak.
I'm a big Rush man, so.
So, I mean, you know, as far as musicians go.
I think it's apples to oranges on this one, but.
You're right. I think it is apples to oranges. But
two
I do think.
Completes.
But the Beatles were just benchmark as far as,
yeah.
You know, some of the stuff that they did. I know those guys, four badass cats that were just mega musicians. And the sum, greater than the parts, and equals the Beatles. But apples and oranges. But I would go, if you ask me, I'm going to go Beatles, I'm going to go Rush.
Yeah, if I'm going to put something in the music, I would do Rush.
Yeah, but yeah. As far as influence, I mean,
yeah.
The Beatles hands down.
Yeah, okay. All right, where did you learn to talk trash like you do, Dan in Kentucky?
Shit, growing up in South Texas, working with my dad, hauling hay in the hay fields, working on the side of the roads with the highway department, you know, just South Texas stuff that anybody can pick up, you know, whether you're in the city or you're in the sticks or you're in the South or the North or the East or the West or the Northeast, like Jersey, New York. Everybody, you know, regionally has stuff that, you know, they grow up hearing and is, you know, unique to that area. And South Texas, and you go to Alabama, Georgia, you know, and a lot of talking, a lot of Louisiana stuff is interesting. But in South Texas, man, I think it was kind of the perfect spot to be, and just hearing people from the country and in the city too. And my uncles and my grandfather were in the cattle business. So when you get a bunch of cowboys hanging around, actually working cows, and we used to be in the cattle business back in the day, I'd hear all that bullshit. And I got a lot of it from my mom and dad. Believe it or not, you know, my dad, he's 81 years old or 82.
81.
He's 81. He just shot a deer down at my ranch not too long ago. Deer scored 146, a 9-point with two kickers. And, you know, my dad was a real good cusser. And he's a gentleman, and he's a class act. And he got a degree from Rice University, and he graduated in 1958. In the 1957 Cotton Bowl, it was Navy versus Rice, and Rice lost 21-7, and my dad scored Rice's only touchdown. But he could really cuss, and he really had a way with words and his cadence and telling a story. You know, Kristen.
Yeah, but I've never heard him cuss.
Well, no, because, you know, he's kind of watches his language around ladies. But I've heard him cuss up a blue streak. Nothing, you know, some people cuss and just rubs it the wrong way.
Well, not in a vulgar way.
Not in a vulgar way. Oh, yeah, he doesn't use vulgar sayings, but just kind of in telling stories. And my mom, I mean, you know, my mom, she barely cusses anymore either, and she's a lady, and my mom is one of the strongest women I've ever known in my life, but God dang, man, she can cuss, and, you know, and we got a very close family, but I got it from growing up, listening to my uncles and my cousins who were real cowboys, South Texas, hunting camps, all the sporting environments that I was a part of, from high school football to JUCO football to D2 school at North Texas State, you know, when I played football there. It was all my surroundings, and I put it all together. And then finally, you know, given a chance to be 6-7 years in the business of pro wrestling and then get the opportunity, dial it back so that it was edgy enough to make air and not edgy enough to get me thrown off the air. And then we greenlit it, and we had a hell of a run. But that's how I learned how to talk trash. And when, I'm going to go to Long Beach, the LBC, again here in a few weeks and talk again to C.T. Fletcher. If you want to hear some good trash talk and listen to C.T. Fletcher, someone sent me a video of some of the WWE superstars over there training with C.T., and I think they trained arms. It was Braun Strowman, Big E, Langston, and Jinder Mahal, and they were training guns with CT, and CT was talking some classic shit. So I'll be going back to talk to CT, and you'll hear two motherfuckers talking a lot of shit.
Okay, this was from Oscar from Montebello, California. What brand and type of knee brace did you use during your illustrious career, and why did you need a knee brace?
Hey, man, back in the day, you know, I blew up my ACL running down on a kickoff coverage at North Texas State University my junior year after transferring from JUCO. And so when I got into the wrestling business, at first I didn't need that knee brace. But then I also tore my PCL in that knee. And from that point on, you know, I got fitted with those custom knee braces. They were of the brand Don Joy. I think someone bought out Don Joy. I think it's under a different name now. But those were custom fitted Kevlar braces. They measure your leg specifically and custom make those things. At the time, they were $1,000 a piece. Later on in my career, I would tear the PCL in my right knee. It's still torn. The ACL is there. I never have had that knee fixed. My left knee, I had surgery on a couple of years ago, and they finally put in a new ACL and PCL ligaments in my left knee from cadaver tissue. So both of my braces were custom Don Joy braces, and those are technically PCL braces, and I needed those things for the support, for the lateral movement in the ring. I finally decided to have the ACL and PCL fixed some few years ago because I could be standing in my front yard, and if I would just turn around in the grass, my knee would pop out because it was so loose. And so that's why I decided it was time to have those things finally fixed after all the years of not having them. But that was the reason I had those knee braces, man. It wasn't for looks. It was because I needed them. But it turned out to be, you know, part of the bionic redneck. And I came up with that gimmick just because by the time it came down to it, my right arm wouldn't straighten out. I had some plates in my neck. I had those two knee braces on. It became part of my gear. And put that on top of those knee braces, and it was an interesting look, and it looked like I was ready to go in there and go to battle, stomp a mud hole in somebody's ass, and walk it dry. I'll never forget the one and only Terry Bam Bam Gordy used to have the double knee braces, and I used to look at Terry and say, "Damn man, that guy must be real beat up to wear those two knee braces." Well, after I started wearing my two knee braces, you know, I knew what Terry was going through, and it became a part of my look, and I leaned on them, and I needed them, but they were Don Joy's. And I always wore black, and when I got a chance to turn heel after that famous WrestleMania 17 match, which we just got finished talking about, when I turned heel, I said, you know what, now that I'm a heel, I ain't got to be cool anymore, so I can fuck around and change colors. So I went with snakeskin, red, white, gold, different colors, because, you know, I could push the envelope as a heel, and that's why the different colored knee braces came in later in my heel run.
Why don't you put those on and come to Zumba with me tonight?
I think I'll just stay here and drink.
Okay, so this is a question from Ted, probably not Ted Fowler, but I hope I understand it correctly. Hey, Steve, when you planned on blading during a match, do you hide it on you, or is it something you give the ref and they give it back when needed? Also, ever forget to kick out of a pin over the years?
Man, I tell you what. Well, let's go back to WrestleMania 17. I had a couple blades that night. I would always go taped to the left wrist, and I'd pull a tab and go to work. And if I didn't have another one taped on my left wrist, I'd carry the other one on my right wrist. But for the most part, if it was a real important pay-per-view, it would be two blades taped to the left wrist. And then, you know, referee have one for backup, just in case shit went cattywampus. Somehow, some way, the tape started unraveling because of so much sweat or just activity, and you lose one, you always had that backup to get the job done. You didn't have to rely on a hard way. Hard ways hurt like a motherfucker. You know what a hard way is?
No.
Well, it's if you're going to get busted open and like over the eyebrow, you know, like right here, I'm rubbing my eyebrow. It's like if somebody wrapped you right there with their knuckles. It'd be a hard way where you make someone bleed in an area which is easy. Or you can hit yourself on a post to hard way. But with a blade, it's much easier because you just stick it in and pull. So, man, that's what I like to do with my blades. And I was thinking the other day, when I was talking to Eric Embry, and we did this match in Dallas, Texas, and there was handcuffs involved, and everybody ended up handcuffed. I was a babyface at the time, and we got that shit beat out of us for a while. Everybody was bleeding. It was one of my first blade jobs, and I can't remember who I asked how to make a blade. I can't remember if it was Chris Adams, Gorgeous Gary Young. It could have been, I don't know if Jerry Lawler was around at the time. I can't remember who the fuck taught me how to make my first blade. I won't sit here and explain it on the podcast. But that's what I did, carry on the left wrist. As far as kicking out of a pin, nah, man, I never missed a kick out. If the match had to keep going, you know, it's going to be tough to get me to stay down for a three count anyway. But as far as business goes, you always, you know, when you get deep into that match, you want to kick out on 2 7/8 and not two. I mean, early on in the match, you kick out at 1 1.5, you know, 1 3/4, 2. And then later as that match goes on, man, those kickouts at 2 7/8, I mean, that referee, boy, he's just hoping and praying that you pick up your goddamn shoulder. And in most pinning predicaments, like I've always said, most time I considered, you know, the offensive move that the guy did to me was substantial enough that, you know, I would kind of lay there with my eyes closed. I don't like to look over there and just, you know, give the referee the dead stare, so I'm looking right at him because camera can pick that up. So most of the time, I was always looking straight up. Well, I take that back. I wasn't looking straight up. I pretty much 99% always had my eyes closed, and I relied on cadence of the referee and trusted the cadence wouldn't change and trusted my referees, and my referees always had good counts. That's how I did that, and I never forgot to kick out of something that I was supposed to kick out of. All right, time for a quick swig of water to a longtime sponsor who's helping everyone live a healthier life, Diamond Dallas Page and his DDPY program. And if you ain't on a DDPY program yet because you're not really sure if it's the right choice for you, just look at Mick Foley. He's the latest DDPY convert, and he's dropped over 100 pounds and in the best shape of his life. Kane, RVD, Jake the Snake, Scott Hall, Chris Jericho, all swear by DDP Yoga. And if that ain't incentive enough, maybe this is. Dallas is offering the biggest sale ever on DDP Yoga right now. He's giving y'all 25% off the DDP Yoga Now app, the DDPY DVDs, and all DDPY swag. You can get 25% off t-shirts, mats, heart monitors, hats, and more. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. But that ain't all, folks. If you buy the DDPY Max Pack today, you'll get 50% off your second copy. So that's 50% off the 25% you're already getting. I ain't going to do the math for you, but I am going to tell you that's a huge savings. And, of course, if you buy the DDPY DVDs for 25% off, you still get 3 free months of the DDP Yoga Now app. So take control of your own health and fitness in the new year. Get on a DDPY program today and take advantage of this huge sale. 25% off all DDPY-related merch at ddpyoga.com/Austin. That's ddpyoga.com/Austin.
All right. Next question actually relates to me and my brother. Steve, my question is about the mountain man known as Mitch. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he's Kristen's brother. Yes, he is. If so, I'm wondering how he got to be a mountain man that he is. Kristen strikes me as a natural-born Cali girl. She loves Zumba, sushi, and all the things that come along that I associate with the hustle and bustle of L.A. So if Mitch is her brother, I'm curious as to how he became the mountain man that he is and why he wasn't drawn to the L.A. lifestyle like she was. Are you going to answer that or am I?
No, ball's in your court. I ask you the question. I'll add in some questions about comments about the mountain man, but you can tell how he ended up in Nevada and you ended up here.
Well, we have the same father. We have different mothers. His mother moved him to Nevada, and I stayed here with our dad and my mom in California. So he basically grew up in Nevada in Reno, and that's how he became the mountain man of Reno, and that's how I became the Cali girl of Cali.
And y'all both come from a hunting background because your father was an avid, he's more of a bird guy, more so than a deer hunting guy.
Yeah, my dad's a bird
guy. So he's a big hunter, and so he got Mitch hunting, and that's how, I guess, because Mitch moved over to right outside of Reno in the Sparks, Spanish Springs area, and is the owner of Nevada Hunting Services. And man, I tell you what, that son of a bitch, he came down the ranch for a couple of days this past deer season, and I got a chance to go out there with him. I haven't been on a hunt with him yet, but he knows pretty much the entire state of Nevada like the back of his hand.
He does.
If you look at Nevada, if you look at all the mountain ranges, and Nevada has more mountain ranges than any other state in the United States, and all that stuff, 90% of Nevada is public land. And he knows that shit, those different sections or areas.
Mountain ranges.
All those mountain ranges, like, and fuck, it's unbelievable. But just simply, y'all had different mothers.
Yes.
And your mother stayed here and moved to the desert. Now she lives in Thousand Oaks.
Right.
And his mom took him to Nevada.
Right.
And, you know, how he got into all the sheep, the mule deer, elk, and all the other stuff that he guides for, I don't have any idea about.
You know, I never asked him, but I think he always enjoyed the outdoors, so.
Oh, man, that's something. He loves the outdoors. Go to the next question.
Okay.
That's how it happened.
Yeah. Okay, Steve, as much as I'd like to see you get in the ring again, I've come to accept that you're not going to wrestle another match. That being said, my question is, looking at your last match against The Rock, would you have done the build slightly different in a way to announce it that it was your last match so that people may have known, so they could have known to send you off? Thanks for the great memories.
Sent that?
Brandon.
Hey, Brandon, you know the reason for that was it was going to be my last match, WrestleMania 19, and Neck had caught up with me. Everything had caught up with me. And we didn't announce that, hey, this is going to be Stone Cold's match, because this was the third and final match with The Rock. He was going over. We didn't say it was going to be my last match because I think the promotion was still doing really good. Momentum was still good. It might have started to slow down a little bit. But if you just announce, hey, this is going to be Stone Cold's last match, you know, maybe that would kind of slow business down or slow the momentum down and, you know, maybe turn some people off. And yeah, it'd been great to have a good send off. But it wasn't about that. We didn't want to slow the momentum of the company down and just make it be about me having my last match, because I can't remember when I made that decision, and I talked to Vince that was going to be my last match, but it was really close to leading up to that. And we didn't want to slow down business is the bottom line, and that's why it was never really announced as that being my last match.
Okay, dear Stone Cold Steve Austin, huge fan of wrestling and a new fan to your podcast. I know you hunt a lot of deer. My question is, do you cook the deer you shoot? Do you have any badass recipes to share? Also, have you ever thought of doing a redneck-style cooking show? Because I think that would be great, Tom.
Well, I ain't going to do no redneck-style cooking show. We got a lot of deer sausages we brought back from us, and we get our deer processed by Country Slaughter there in Victoria, Texas. I don't process that. A lot of times when we're hanging those deer, we give a lot of those deer away to people who need them, and we don't waste anything out there. We eat all those deer. But one of my little tricks is, I'm letting the processing plant do most of the stuff. We're gutting them and putting them in our freezer. So I'll reach in there and pull the tenderloins out, and I'll cut those up, tenderize them. So here's my recipe for tenderloins or backstrap. And I like to cut them about a half inch thick, And then I'll pound them out with a tenderizing hammer on both sides. I'll salt and pepper my flour. So I have a bunch of flour. And then I'll get about, depending on how much I'm cooking, I'll crack about 3 eggs in a bowl, pour in, some milk, not a whole shit pile of milk, but some milk. But after and then I'll salt and pepper my flour, salt and pepper my eggs and milk, and I'll dip the tenderloins and backstrap in the milk. And so then I'll put it in the flour, roll it around so all the flour sticks to it. I'll get about, 10, 12 pieces, however big my skillet is. And I like to use, I use canola oil.
Olive oil
or canola oil. You told me to use canola oil because you get a higher...
It takes to a higher heat.
Cooking point, yeah. So anyway, either one, olive oil, canola oil. And I'll get on a medium heat. I'll just put some flour in there when it kind of, makes that flour boil. That's when I know my grease is hot enough. And so I don't want to quick fry them, but I am frying them. So I'll let them sit there. And when that meat starts turning red on the outside, when it starts bleeding through that top side, that's when I'll flip it over. And then I'll watch that. And when it bleeds through again, I'll flip it one more time. Then I'll have a paper plate laying there with a paper towel doubled up over it. And I'll take the pieces from that and I'll put it on the paper towel so that grease can drain off.
But you don't put a whole bunch of oil in there.
No. It's not deep fried.
Right.
There might be, Jesus Christ, an eighth or 16th, level of grease.
Right.
I'm just guessing at the
oil.
Depth.
Oil.
Yeah, so it's not a shit pile of oil. And so each time I put a layer of deer meat down on a paper plate on top of the paper towel, it might be, like I said, 10 or 12 pieces. I'll salt and pepper each level as I keep stacking them so that I've seasoned them all. And that's how I cook my tenderloins or my backstrap. My other way that I'll cook them is just to pound them out, season them, and put the barbecue grill on about 350, keep it open, and just put them on there, flip them over by hand, and eat them off the pit if I'm trying to eat healthy. That's how I cook my deer meat.
You forgot one very important part.
What?
The gravy.
Oh, you just started making gravy this year. Goddamn, you ain't made gravy in a couple of years.
Well, you were saying that you would like some gravy with your, tenderloins. I said, sure, I can, just use the pieces from, your pan and add a little...
So you take your old oil and you have those little pieces that fall off, of the kind of crust, if you will, of the flour mixture. And then you add in milk while you're stirring and more flour.
Yeah, salt and pepper and
keep
makes a
stirring.
Nice little gravy.
Oh, and that's how you make your gravy.
Yeah.
And back when I was in high school, I took home economics. I took a cooking class.
They still offer those.
Oh, man. Yeah, no shit. And my mom used to always help me make gravy. And her thing was stir, stir, stir,
yep.
Stir. Don't forget to stir. You get the damn lumps in there. But shit, that was 30 years ago, so I ain't made no gravy. When you started busting out that gravy, when I eat deer meat, I just like to salt and pepper it. I don't want to dip it in anything. But if my wife makes gravy, that's when you got the holy grail. That's how I do my deer meat.
All right. Let's see here. I noticed on a couple of podcasts when you talk about getting the crowd, you say get the crowd to come to you. or to come for you. Is that something all wrestlers say about that as part of the wrestling lingo, or is that just something you came up with?
Oh, and that's from Gwendolyn. And she said, you know, I think she almost likes she when she says come for
oh,
you.
Oh, Gwen, yeah.
So, no, Gwen, like, you don't mean it in like a sexual connotation, but it's like when you're in a ring with another guy, you're waiting for him to come. You're doing something to elicit a response, and normally, you know, you're waiting for that that spot or that part of the match where the heel is getting heat on the baby face, and that crowd starts coming alive, and they start, you know, either clapping or stomping or cheering, and they start getting behind that baby face, and so you'll tell the guy, all right, they're coming. Meaning, here they come. You're starting to get them where you want them. You're working that crowd. It's part of the ride. So, everybody says that. Wait for that crowd to come. Wait for that crowd to come. You know, don't sit there and go home too early. Wait for them to come and take them with you. And then that's time for the explosion when that baby face makes that big comeback and you head into your finish. So when you say getting them to come for you, that means just from applause, interest standpoint, no, not any kind of sexual connotation. It's all about getting them to respond to what you're doing and to the story that you're telling.
Okay, there's a second part to this. One of my favorite promos of Stone Cold is where you shoot arrows at the pictures of Vince, JR, Gorilla, and Owen. Did you get those perfect shots for the first time, or was there multiple takes?
No, that was a shoot, no pun intended. We was over at a person's house. Yeah, because my yard wasn't set up to do that. And so, man, I still shoot a bow to this day. I haven't because of my shoulder surgery. But, yeah, those are all, you know, drilled-in shots. You know, I'm pretty decent with a bow. I've never killed an animal with a bow. I just shoot targets. So, yeah, those were all straight shots. Some of the camera angles were from far away. Some of them were close up. We didn't have another guy with a bow and arrow say, okay, here's a close-up. We'll shoot right here. Every one of those arrows that landed where it did was where I shot it. And that's the bottom line on that.
All right. Looks like the Bronco comeback is official. What do you think about it? The Ranger is making a comeback as well. Dan.
Read the next question because there's two of them.
Oh, wanted to give you a heads up. I know you heard they might be bringing the Ford Bronco back into production. Well, the talk is over. It has been confirmed. On or before 2020 production will begin. They will never be the same as the original, though.
Well, it's not going to be the same as the original. You don't want to be the same as the original because what was the first Bronco? A 66?
Don't look at me.
I can't even remember because I'm into the 90s. So I'd love to have a 78 or 79 model, that body style. But, you know, I've always had stuff that was in the 90s. And here's the thing that I'm so concerned about when they bring the Ford Bronco back. I hope they don't screw it up. The thing I love about the Broncos, and I have two 95s and a 96, is the cavernous interior. There's so much room inside that two-door vehicle, it's unbelievable. From the concept pictures, to me, it looks like the interior room is going to be cramped. One of the things I liked about that vehicle so much was there's just so much shoulder room in that center console is perfect. You know, they'll probably put a console shifter on this. You know, everything else is on all the Bronco XLTs. It's all column shift unless you get, you know, a 4-speed or a 5-speed, as it were. The XLTs all had power windows, power door locks. The XLs did not. But I hope they have some decent motor options. Whether you had the 5.0, the 302, or the 5.8, the 351, those motors didn't have a whole lot of horsepower. That's not why you got the Bronco. It does just fine. On my 95, it has 41,000 original miles. It's all stock other than the exhaust I put on it. It's a little bit loud. It runs good enough for L.A. The thing I like about that thing is I can stomp it at a light. It won't squeal, and it'll just haul ass, you know, as much as a 205, 215 horsepower motor can. I just hope that Ford gives you great motor options and enough horsepower in that thing. The Raptor. If they make a Raptor version of the Bronco, that could be cool. My biggest fear is interior space. We know why they got away from the two-door SUV in favor of four doors, so people could haul more and do more. The fact that they're bringing back this Ford Bronco and to separate it away from the Jeep, which I think it will be in competition for. I love Jeeps, but there's no interior room in a Jeep. And they're great vehicles, but they're very specific vehicles. The thing I liked about the two-door Bronco was the all-utility purpose of it. Crawl like a damn mountain goat onto the rocks and get through mud.
But they have great turning radius, too.
Great turning radius, but had so much room inside. Don't fuck up and make this thing into a subcompact. That's it. All right, Kristen, we've got time for one more question.
And I'm going to let you read it.
All right, I'm going to paraphrase this because the question is a little bit confusing. It comes from Nicholas. Hey, Steve, I've heard you say on previous podcasts that sometimes in deer hunting seasons you'll see a deer but won't see the same deer for another three or four deer hunts. If you have a deer like Teddy did with Jack Daniels that he saw and named, if his time was there and he needed to go, would you be able to take said deer? Would you not take him? Would you not take the shot as theoretically that's Ted's deer, or would you take it as it's his time to go and you don't want to risk not seeing him again for another 2 to 3 years? Basically, you know, it's, you know, whose deer is it? Well,
you own the ranch.
I own the ranch, so it's my deer. And, you know, Teddy and I coordinate with each other. We're very meticulous in detail about what deer we're trying to take off the ranch. And, you know, if he's got a designated deer that he's hunting and I'm cool with and he knows what I'm hunting. So in theory, if I'm hunting a deer and he's out there and he sees my deer that I would like to take, if I see him, he's not going to shoot that deer. Same thing for me. If I know that Teddy's after deer and I see him, I'm not going to shoot that deer. But what will happen is he'll say, well, I'll probably text me on the phone, hey, man, your deer's here. Or, you know, when we reconvene at deer hunting camp at the compound, hey, man, I saw that deer at so-and-so deer stand. So I would go back to that deer stand hoping that he shows back up. So it's my ranch, but yeah, me and Teddy are cool.
Wait,
about
it's our ranch.
Wait, oh, geez, here we go. It's mine and Kristen's ranch. Maybe I'll get my half in a couple of months if this remodel doesn't go very well. No, I'm not going to jack Ted's deer, and vice versa. We're very respectful of that. You know, we know what we're out for, and I pretty much give Ted a green light to make any decision he wants out there because he's on the same, you know, team as I am. We're trying to grow big deer. So, and then this year, you know, I shot a deer that went into the 160s. That was a flat out 160, but it was like a bulldozer horn. This thing was just had this incredible mass. And at the same time, I saw another outstanding deer out there. And I told Teddy, man, you ought to go see if you can shoot that deer. And turns out he did. And the deer, my deer scored 160. Ted scored 166 with a broke G4. That was about a 175 deer. So, you know, it's not always about me wanting to shoot the biggest deer on the ranch every year. It's teamwork and trying to cull our herd to grow the best deer that we can. So hopefully that answers your question. Kristen, I want to say thank you very much for asking me these questions. Did you have fun?
I had a lot of fun, Steve.
You might need to start your own podcast. You want me to put you an appointment to talk with Norm?
No.
Yeah, you might have a cooking podcast.
I was just thinking when I was teaching years ago and I was stumbling. I was reading a story with a kid and I stumbled on the words. And he said, oh, you have a reading disability too. I thought that was the cutest thing. I felt like I had a reading disability today trying to read some of these questions. So my apologies.
Sometimes I got to read about it. That's easy for me to say. That was the work. I was just kidding. All right, everybody, give me the go home. Q's time to wrap up his podcast and ride off into the sunset. Hey, I got some badass guests coming up. Motherfucker. I might be talking to myself. Hey, couple of plugs real quick before I close this motherfucker down. ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin has got a bunch of my damn shirts. All the ones I wore filming the new season of Broken Skull Challenge. And speaking of the most badass show on TV right now, we got another new episode airing this Sunday night at 10/9 Central on CMT. Hopefully I can watch the motherfucker. Hey, the best damn IPA on the planet is Broken Skull IPA at El Segundo Brewing Company. If you don't believe that, I'm telling you, it's the truth. You can also get it at Whole Foods and Total Wines if you live in Cali. If you don't, check InsideTheCellar.com and see if they ship to your state. Hey, I appreciate you guys as important sponsors of the Steve Austin Podcast. These people are the ones that let me do this for you free twice a week. So big thanks to NatureBox. Get 50% off your first order at naturebox.com/Austin. To DDP Yoga, go to ddpyoga.com/Austin to get 25% off all DDPY DVDs and related merch. To NatureBox, Go to naturebox.com/Austin for 50% off your first order. To Blue Apron, get your first three meals free with free shipping when you sign up at blueapron.com/unleashed. And, of course, to Amazon, been supporting this podcast since day one. Amazon is the best place to get the cold steel broken skull knife, just $75 for the most badass pocket knife on the planet. And if you order the broken skull knife through my Amazon links, Amazon will kick back a couple of bucks to the podcast and never cost you anything extra. There are never any hidden fees or charges. You buy whatever you need to buy, and Amazon will help out the podcast in the process. You can find my Amazon links by going to podcastone.com, clicking on the killer deals button in the top right corner of the page, and then hitting the Steve Austin Show button. I got Amazon links for Amazon USA, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada. So again, go to podcastone.com, click the killer deals button in the top right corner, then click on the Steve Austin Show. Bookmark that motherfucker so you can find it easier. I'm going to be hitting up some of the local breweries here in the Los Angeles area, talking beer, craft beer on the podcast. Stay tuned. Keep listening. The 60-second AP News headlines are coming up next. Until then, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.